Welcome to the KP Podcast, where we talk about the business of real estate. A podcast about leveraging opportunities, growing your business, and experiencing financial freedom. Here are your hosts, Keith Anderson and Peter Kamboukos.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the KP Podcast. This is Pete, sitting here with my co-host Keith, and we're coming to you live from the forum.
How's it going, everybody? Everybody getting a good weekend going? I know it's fun because we're going to be talking about the housing shortage today, and it reminds me of how there was a shortage of yards that the Jets put up this last weekend. Wow. A good solid like 27 in the second half.
So that hurts my heart.
It's fantastic.
I don't want to talk about it.
Let's shortage of points, shortage of yards. They punt really well, 17 times
to
be exact.
We still have a winning record, and we're on track for the playoffs. I don't want to talk about
it. Oh, man. So
back to housing. Moving on from that.
I'd move on too.
Yeah, I want to move on.
Next so would week, Zach Wilson.
As Bill Belichick used to say, on to the next. We're on to Cleveland.
So let's talk about it because we keep hearing this. A lot of our listeners are reaching out to us like, hey, like, what's going on? Like a lot of people are saying we're way over on supply. We have so much inventory. And we keep pushing back saying, guys, are we actually in a shortage? Like, are you sure it's an oversupply? From what we've seen is we actually have a shortage on housing. There's been less houses available than the people that need them.
But Keith, inventory's up 400%.
There's got to be a ton of excess supply. Like back in 2006 to 2009, like everybody was scared, right? It's like we had that way over supply with that shadow demand that wasn't real. Today, it's much different. It may look similar when it comes to the supply numbers, right? Like, although we did get 26,000 at some point of actual houses on the market. We're not there yet. By any means?
Yeah, we're not there. We're just...
And we're talking 16 years ago, which means population and a lot of other things are way different now than they were back then.
We got a lot more people right now and a lot fewer houses, right? But that inventory grew. We hit over 20,000, right? We're approaching back towards that normal or balanced market. I think one important thing to differentiate is the difference between inventory and new supply.
Yeah, so... The big thing is, okay, well, why is inventory up? Because inventory is not up because of excess supply. Correct. Like it was 16 years ago. They had a supply issue. It caused the market to crash alongside a lot of other factors, but that was one of the factors. Now, inventory is up not because of supply, but because of demand.
Right. Demand is absolutely crushed. We've seen these rates go up quicker than we ever have in history, right? So you've got rates that have doubled or tripled, depending on the individual, in a short period of time, 6 to 9 months. And so all of a sudden, you've got the same house at the beginning of the year where the mortgage payment has gone up 50, 60, 80, 90%.
Yep.
And it's absolutely killed demand.
And it's not even that buyers don't want to buy and that demand's crushed in the sense of no one really wants that chocolate cake because everyone likes vanilla. That's not the case. Right now, they want the chocolate cake. Everybody likes chocolate cake, but chocolate cake is way too expensive per month for them to buy the house.
Yeah.
So like in the end of the day, as soon as the pricing would feel better to them, the affordability would become better, demand would pick back up and we'd be in a whole nother condition. Hence why it's not necessarily an inventory up based on supply. Yeah. It's because of demand.
And the last thing we'll say on that is how do we know? How do we know that that's the case? Well, we know because we see the household formation pull back and you're seeing people do things like double up or triple up rentals, not hold off on that move up purchase, stay home with their parents if they're of that age. And the other thing that we saw that was the dead giveaway is back in August, we saw those rates drop back down under 6 for a period of time there. And what do we see immediately? Transactions shoot right back up. Underlying demand is there. It's absolutely there. So, like you said, is there really a housing shortage? People are seeing the supply going up. Well, let's look at what some of these folks who keep real good track of this stuff say. Everybody's got different numbers, right?
Yeah.
But what we seem to see is they all start saying, hey, guys, we're short. If you look at Fannie Mae's number, I think they just published it last month. They say we're about 3.5 million housing units short nationally. Of where we should be to,
help with the population control of what it is.
Based on the population, the household formation of what we've got. NAR, National Association of Realtors, their number is even bigger. And people can say, okay, that's NAR. Their number is 5.5 million units short.
Wow.
Fine. You know, you can say, okay, theirs is bigger. You don't like theirs? Go with Fannie Mae at 3.5.
Either way.
You don't like theirs? You can go with some more conservative estimates that say, oh, no, it's only 1.5 million or 2 million. But here's what none of these agencies or organizations that are looking at, none of them are saying we're oversupplied. They're all saying, hey, we've got different numbers of different levels of how short we are. So then what's going on, Keith? Well, I guess what caused this?
Well, so because of that 2006 incident that I was speaking about, where we truly did have an oversupply because everybody got build happy because they would give anybody and everybody four homes, five homes, 12 homes.
As many as you want.
As many as you can afford to not really afford.
Or I was going to say, or not afford.
So the thought was, is builders were making a killing. They could start construction, they'd get building permits, and it would be $100,000 more than what it was when they started building, right? So why would you not invest in this? Like, it makes sense. So they built houses like crazy, and we had more permits pulled than any other time in our country's history when it comes to that. And so houses were being built ahead of what the actual demand was for these houses. So there was shadow demand because investors were picking them up because they wanted to make in on the profit, and no one was actually living in these houses. Yep. So the problem is we had that oversupply. Now,
and we saw that with record vacancy rates on record. The rental side. We saw empty houses on just the single family homeowner side. So we saw that. And you can look at any chart and see that massive spike in inventory.
So we had all that supply. And then as soon as the market crashed, right, every builder stopped immediately because they're all bankrupt because they can't sell these houses. A lot of them are going out of business. They're trying to get rid of all of them they can. But again, there's no one there to actually buy the houses. There was no demand for it. Now, what that caused is, imagine putting your hand on a stove and you get burnt. How likely are you to go put your hand on that stove and check if it's hot or not again, right?
Not very likely.
No. So all these builders just stopped dead in their tracks. And guess what? People didn't stop making babies. Last time I checked, people were still doing the business, you know, and people were still moving to these smile zone states. And now keep in mind, back then, the smile zone did not have as strong of a population as we have now. Pete, touch on the population difference now. Where are we sitting at?
Yeah, well, I mean, just in the last 15 years, I mean, we could speak to just Arizona. If we look at the metro area here, we've added over 1 million people
just
in that time.
In 15 years?
Yeah.
So that changes things from a supply oversupply to a shortage pretty quick if no other houses are being made. And guess what? Builders halted for like 6 years or something like that.
Way more.
Before they started to kind of get back into it, like not even full go.
Yeah, I was going to say, some of them halted completely for a long time, but basically all of them underbuilt. And we've touched on this many times, for well over a decade, at least a decade. And so not only then did we work through all that oversupply, but then you could clearly see, and we've talked about it how many times, well before the pandemic and this boom of the last couple of years, we kept going lower and lower and lower and lower in inventory, and they just weren't building. They weren't even building anywhere near enough to keep up with the natural growth in the population. So now we went from a massive oversupply where, like you said, everyone was scared, they didn't want to do it again, to way underbuilding for well over a decade. And then the population didn't stop. No. And now what do we have now? You saw this big boom that brought forward all this demand the last couple of years. Builders picked up a little bit, but contrary to what some people tell you out there, nowhere even close to what they were doing in 06 and 05. Not even close. And so even when they increased that, it still couldn't
catch up.
And now, because they remember the lesson from 15 years ago, what did they do as soon as rates started going up?
Stopped.
Slammed the brakes again.
Like, we just got back into action, right? And now we're going the other direction. Building permits are down all across the board for both multifamily and for residential single-family houses. They're down. Now, multifamily is still higher than what we've seen in past years. Yeah. However, they're still lower than they were last year, and they're projected to be lower even next year than they are now. The same concept. And what's happening with that is, again, we're contributing to the issue of being undersupplied.
Yeah. And so if we talk about it, then why do you still have a lot of people talking about, hey, well, the inventory is going up, I don't think we're undersupplied and all of this stuff? So let's talk about, we talked about how many units, you know, different numbers, but whatever it is, it's millions short across the country. We've had that underbuilding that we talked about. And then, you know, just to make sure we're all on the same page with this, we the number that we lose, guys, every year, houses that lose just because, you know, we lose them because they're old and they're tearing them down to fires, whatever the case may be, it's about 100,000 houses a year nationally that we lose. And so, you know, obviously we've got to replace those and everything above and beyond we can add to it. And remember, the only place new supply is coming from is new building, new development. Mm-hmm. Resales are not new supply. That's trading hands. But new supply is coming from adding supply from the building.
Yeah, so if we're losing and we're not adding, that's double negative.
And so the biggest issue, and this is, I think, where some people get lost in it, is there are two big issues with this of why you can look somewhere and go, oh no, we've got oversupply. And other people are going, what are you talking about? We don't have enough houses. And the two big keys are, where is the housing?
Mm-hmm.
And what type of housing are we talking about, right? And so just to what you were talking about, Keith, right there, let's go to the smile zone. And to bring everybody, make sure we all stay on the same page. They talk about the smile zone is kind of the southern part of the country, if you will. Kind of runs from LA, and if you draw a line like the smiley face, the mouth of a smiley face, it kind of goes through Arizona, you know, Texas, over to Florida, and up through the Carolinas. And so that kind of
makes sense. Big smile.
Big smile.
I get it now.
Smiley face. So that's what, you know, you'll hear them referred to as the smile zone. For the first time
and we're happy because it's
country.
Warmer. Is that really why?
We're much happier.
Yeah.
Because we're not shoveling snow right now. It was 70 degrees out here today.
Just the Buffalo story of 77 inches coming down in Buffalo,
that's
New York.
That's ridiculous.
Guys, come to the smile zone. You'll be much happier down here.
Well, Keith, I got news for you.
They are.
A lot of them are. So for the first time in the history of this country, we have over 50% of the population living in that smile zone. So think about the size of this country. And what we're saying is more than half the people in this country
live just in the southern states.
Live in that southern, in those southern
so
states.
So, Pete, you're telling me we're turning into a population like Canada, where
kind of
where it's starting to head to like everybody lives in the south part of Canada.
Pretty much everybody's running away from Canada in our country, if you think about it that way.
Yeah.
That's another way to look at it. Yeah.
Everybody's just leaning down
how
to the
far
south.
Can I get away from Canada?
Or the snow, or just anything crazy going on up in the north. So that makes sense.
So, you know, here's another stat that I think will blow most people's minds. 73% of the counties in this country are losing population.
That makes sense.
73%, right? So again, this goes back to our issue. If only 27% of the counties are gaining population,
we're staying the same.
Yeah, staying the same or gaining. That's a good point. And we know everybody's moving south to the smile zone. The big issues, like we talked about, are where's the housing, guys? And so when you're looking at this, the problem is we've got, remember, houses are for people. That's their purpose, their shelter. If the people are leaving Wisconsin, Michigan, New Hampshire, New York,
Buffalo,
Connecticut, whatever, and they're moving to these areas, well, we have housing in those. People are going, oh, well, I can move to the Midwest, and there's plenty of housing,
sure,
and it's cheap, but nobody's moving there. They're all moving down here. And so the problem is we have a housing shortage where the population is moving.
Yes.
The other big issue we have is things continue to get more expensive. So what do you have? You have millennials that are coming of age looking for housing. They're moving to these areas where everyone else is also moving to. And the other big problem is we don't have any entry-level housing.
No.
And so entry-level housing and where in the country the housing is, these are the issues. It has to be there to meet the demand of where people are and what they need. And we just don't have it.
No, like it's expected that you already have a really nice job and three kids and a nice big family with a 4,000 square foot house. Like
ready to go. Yeah.
Like we have way more of that.
Yeah.
Like you do not see very many of the two bedroom, two bath type stuff or even the condos and things like that. They're just not available or they're all purchased by retirees. Yeah. And so the early first time home buyers can't get into the marketplace near the same. And with prices jumping up as well, affordability is even harder for that. So it is funny to say like, there might be an oversupply of houses in a lot of other states, but not in Arizona.
We've got some places in the Northeast that, or in the Midwest, where they might have some more some oversupply. Heck, we saw it over the last couple of years when most of the country was booming, and you talk to people and they go, "My house has been sitting on the market for almost a year in Connecticut," and you're like, "In 2020." In 2021?
Yeah, there's no way. We sold last hour.
Well, exactly.
We listed it and it sold an hour ago.
Yeah, we got 50 offers in the first day. What are you talking about? Well, people aren't moving there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So this is an important distinction, guys. And so this is the difference of what we're talking about. So we need a lot more housing. in the areas where everybody's moving, and the thing that's just not being made, and builders frankly can't do it. Land's getting more expensive. There's more regulations. Supplies are getting there. Labor, all the inflation costs are making it harder and harder for that entry level units to be in there. Now, we will see, and we do see, some stuff picking up for multifamily, right? So some the multifamily is going to absorb some of that. Hey, they can't afford to get in there. They're going to have to go to some multifamily stuff. And just like you were saying, Keith, we have seen that multifamily kick up big time in the last couple of years because you know what? I mean, people, it's too expensive for a lot of these areas and they've got to have somewhere to go, right?
And it's crazy though. And even in those, they're still projected a little lower than we were in years past. So again, it's like, we're not getting any break anywhere and when it comes to housing. So, guys, the moral of the story is that we're talking about it is don't be fooled by some of the things you're hearing and seeing like oversupplied. No, it's oversupplied on the actual inventory of the market, not the actual housing supply that we have here in the state. And it's only that way because demand is literally getting crunched to an absolute pulp. It's getting destroyed. As soon as it lets up, you will see a massively low inventory again, and we will be back to the races.
You'll just see those transactions. And that's why we make that distinction. It's an important distinction. And we keep looking at it. We go, is it like 07 and 08 where we had too much supply? Because that's one type of market. Or are we just seeing it crushed because of the rates and the affordability? That's a different issue. And that second issue is what we're seeing right now. I would be much more concerned if we had massive vacancies, tons of oversupply, and we have the exact opposite. We have the lowest vacancy rates we've seen in record in history here, and we've got still an undersupply. We just have that demand that is getting held back. But to your point, at some point that will ease up, and we will continue to have this supply shortage till we fix this, and it's going to take a long time.
We appreciate everybody tuning in and listening. Again, remember, send your questions to questions@kpeliteaz.com. We'd love to tackle them in all future episodes and continue to educate you guys on what's going on, not only in Arizona, but the economy and everything that's to come. So we'll see you guys here in a couple weeks.
See you guys.